Good morning. 33. How exciting. Okay, I get to introduce our speaker today, Erica Merrihue. Oh, she's in back there. So she's going to be presenting a lot about herself in her presentation. So she gave me a list of fun facts about her to introduce her, which I loved. So here you go. She's 38 years old. She's 5'3¼", not 5'1". She loves even numbers. She's an extremist, so the temperature is either too hot or too cold. She's too loud or too quiet, nowhere in the middle. She works at the happiest place on earth. She says to ask her what she does later. One of her goals in life is to be a participant on every game show. And she said that she won a car on The Price is Right, which is why she wants to do this. So she's got to keep the winning streak going. She has an old soul. She often cooks while watching black and white TV shows like I Love Lucy, The Donna Reed Show, and Father Knows Best. She thinks one of the best jobs in the world would be a professional seat filler, especially at weddings. For those guests that are a no-show, she would be right there getting everyone on the dance floor filling the space, which I agree. I love a wedding, so I would do that with you. I don't care what wedding it is. I'll go. She said speaking in front of people is actually her comfort zone, so she was very excited to come today and share her wonderful knowledge and experience as a mom. She has one husband, one child, one dog, one cat, and a hamster. She also has one God, one truth, and one way to heaven. So please welcome Erica.
Okay, see? 5¾". There you go. Right there. All right. Good thing I know how to work these things.
Go. Boom.
Hold on.
There we go. Hello. Hello. Okay, so I had this great opening line, and then I was driving here, and I was like, I think I'm just going to start being as real as possible. So guess what I forgot this morning? To wear deodorant. So just so you guys know, I don't smell quite yet, but just stay tuned. So there's my opening line for you. Now do I have your attention? There you are. Okay, so I promise I actually don't smell. It's actually really great. So it's actually crazy. About 10 years ago, almost to the day exactly, I was sitting in your chair. I actually came to Blessing when it first began and joined when I was pregnant. So I actually think you get extra credit for coming when you haven't delivered your baby yet because you're just gaining that knowledge. Has anyone done that yet? Just come when they're pregnant first and then had the baby? Yes, I got one. Perfect. But what I loved about that was hearing all the women talk about sleepless nights, having the only thing they ate that day being their leftover kids' snacks from the day, hearing the word mom about 1,000 times a day, but more so than anything, being so incredibly excited every Tuesday morning for that delicious spread. And I always thought if I don't have any full meal in the week, I have one to look forward to, and it's that one. And I also thought, man, these moms are amazing. Like, they have, like, all of these kids, and yet they still are able to provide a beautiful meal. So that was something that stuck out. I'm not done talking about food. It's going to be part of my talk also. But I will say in all seriousness, this room on Tuesday morning was my saving grace when I was in your stage. There was something about women being just as in it as I was that brought so much hope. Some women would come put together, some women would come in their jammies, and it was all good. And I'm sure maybe I got a lot of head nods on that one. There was hope to get through the day. And unfortunately, so talking about that food spread, right? I was able to eat anything back in the day. Well, now I'm actually, listen to this, gluten-free. Okay. That's pretty normal to hear. Doesn't stop there. I'm actually corn-free and I'm rice-free. So I can't even have gluten-free products. So the only thing I can actually have is the leftover napkin. So save me a napkin so I can take something home. But it's okay. I'm done talking about food. But isn't it such an incredible thing, right? In fact, as I was preparing for this speech, it made me think of a really cool analogy. a grocery store, so somewhat talking about food still. We all visit grocery stores, even if it's pushing a button on our phones, having them delivered to our front door, picking them up, or heaven forbid, actually walking inside one. But here's something that they all have in common. It's a very controlled environment, and here's what I mean by that. We have the ability, when we walk into a grocery store, to decide what we want to buy. Every aisle you walk through is organized according to the different food groups, right? We decide what we put into our bodies and what we put into our children's bodies. And we also decide how much we want to spend at the grocery store. We can decide if we want to talk to the cashier as we check out. We can decide if we want to turn our head or engage. We can also decide if we want to spend that $7 Starbucks as you're walking into Vons and it's calling your name, which, by the way, pumpkin spice actually came in the month of July, like July. So anyway, either way, the common theme that a grocery store has is ultimate control. Now, in a grocery store, what we don't have in common, or in that we don't have control over, is how fast the avocados are going to last, how many bruises will be on the apples that actually looked perfect when we picked them out at the grocery store, the person that maybe you chose not to say hi to, and maybe how lonely they must have felt, or even something as simple as not having control over whether our child eats that really expensive pouch that all the moms swore by. So food and control. I think the reason why I bring up control is that I constantly struggle with it, even 10 years later. A little bit of background about me. I am 38 years old, and I will say this room is very particularly familiar to me, as I see right here overflow on our this stand that I'm talking on. My husband, you can go ahead and go to the first slide, Chad Merrihew, was started off as the junior high pastor, high school pastor, and then overall director of Overflow. And actually, him and Ryan Zellner, I'm not sure if you know him, made up the name Overflow way back in the day. And so we have many, many memories in this particular room, including bringing our little Lucy May, which you can go to that next slide. Little Lucy, she's actually turning 10 on Halloween Day. So when I say 10 years ago exactly today, I actually really mean that. Yeah, so she is born on Halloween. You can go to the next slide just to give you guys some photos. My dog, Duke, he's also 10 years old. I know everyone loves their dogs, you guys, but I really think Duke's like perfect. Like, he's such a good dog, and I never grew up with dogs ever. I grew up with birds, and you can't cuddle birds, but there's something about just a golden retriever that just like welcomes you in the day, and it's amazing. Hi, Lauren. Hi. You can go to the next slide. Another question I was asked was, can you describe one of your favorite vacations that you've taken with your family? So this particular one was last year. We have a 1987 Vanagon, so it's a pop top. So we go camping quite often, and this one was in Malibu. And one thing about these two that I do not have in common is their adventurous spirit. They will try anything. They're risk takers. And I love it, and I also am, like, terrified of the two of them combined. I'm like, just don't tell me what you don't need to tell me when I'm not there. You can go to the next slide. So in this particular vacation we took, the beautiful thing about marrying a pastor, especially a youth pastor, is he's so used to organizing trips for hundred of kids, right? So then when he's not a pastor, he organizes family trips so beautifully. Like, you guys would laugh, but we actually have like contracts, like family contracts that he types up, and it's all about positivity, being flexible when things go wrong, not complaining, and we all, like Lucy and I have to sign it. We also have an itinerary of, like, you know, because it's camping, so we do different stops, so we decide on what food we're gonna have. It's actually quite lovely because I love predictability, and so it's great, like, marrying someone that knows how to event plan. So he did one event each day, and the first event we did horseback riding on our own. Lucy got maybe like a 5-minute tutorial, and she was on a horse by herself on this like mountain range. It was incredible, and I was terrified. And then next slide, the next thing we did was, so as you can see, she's very tiny. we did surf lessons, and this was the smallest wetsuit that the guy actually had for her. So I'm like, it's fine. And she was so cold. Like, wetsuits are supposed to keep you warm, and not for her. She was so cold that day, but she tried it, and she wasn't a fan of it, but it's okay. The next one is rock climbing. We did, like, professional rock climbing on a cliff overlooking the ocean in Malibu. So I know that doesn't look super high, so to give you guys more perspective, I have a video to show you. This girl went up this mountain, this cliff, 4 times, all the way up, and I zoomed down just to show you. Let me show you. It goes all the way down. I went halfway, and I was like, I'm good. And she went all the way up, and then just to give you some perspective of where the ocean was, it was pretty amazing, and that adventurous spirit is something that I envy at times, because she just the lack of fear and just the adventure side is just beautiful to see. So she made it all the way up, there and back 4 times. So it was pretty cool to see. All right, I think that's the last slide there. So she is a hall. Oh, and then there's our actual personalities where we just, you know, are goofy and crazy. So I have a holiday baby, never actually wanted a holiday baby, but I got one. And Halloween's actually the most perfect holiday because everything's done for you, right? What's your theme? Halloween. What are you going to do? Go trick-or-treating. What are you going to serve? Chili. Do you have a Halloween party at school? Can you attach Lucy's name onto it? And they're like, yeah, so everything's done for you. Except for when they actually start having friends, because now you have to have a family party and a friend party. So now, so much for embracing the laziness of the holiday baby. So I am a working mom. I am part-time right now, and like the intro said, my boss, he is Mickey Mouse. I have worked there the last 19 years, which is crazy. I had a teen in my age when I started. So it's crazy to think that I'm hitting 20 years. For all my Disney fans, I know you guys are probably going to ask, like, what do you do there? Let's just say, to keep the magic alive, because your babies all have ears and they can hear things, I had to use my height for its good, right? And so I used to be best friends with Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and all the little teeny tinies. They were my best friend. You guys get that? In code, best friend. Okay. I will say there's nothing like hugging children being the main objective of your day. I now have an office position, which is not nearly as cute or glorified, but very meaningful. To be honest, I'm not even that much of a diehard Disney fan, but I go old school with Walt's hopes and dreams of that place. And so I really, truly embody creating and dreaming and inspiring my coworkers in what looks like a very light and bright place could actually be such a place of ministry. As I sit here preparing for my speech a couple weeks ago in my empty house that I had, eating my non-gluten, corn-free, and rice-free meal, I couldn't help but think what you all were doing at the very moment. If you were on a sleep schedule, you were probably entering the first nap of the day. And if you had older kids, maybe you were entering your first Mommy and Me class for the day. As I wrote down sitting here in an empty house, I think I was thinking most people would say that they would actually love to be in my shoes, right? An empty house, your house is put together, no one needs you, and it's a bright, sunny day, and you're actually eating a meal and completing it. Yes, it is awesome, and it is quiet, and it is beautiful, but sometimes in those quiet moments, I wished I had another kid of my own. With Lucy, I was able to get pregnant on the first try, so naturally, I thought, amazing. I'm going to be one of those moms. That's every 2 years. I'll have 2, 4, 6, and 8. It's great. And I'm going to be as fertile as they come. And a year goes by, 2 years goes by, and now we're at 7 years going by, and I never became that mom. Now, I want to emphasize by saying I am a mom of one, so that makes me just as much of a mom as a mom of seven. However, sometimes, if I'm being honest with you all, it doesn't always feel that way. I can't tell you how many nights my daughter has laid her head on my stomach, hoping and praying she feels something, or making sure that Daddy and I are still trying and we haven't given up yet. Those nights used to happen all the time, and I wish I could say that they've ended, but they haven't. My daughter so desperately wants a sibling of her own, and it's heartbreaking to know that my husband and I haven't been able to give her that. One particular image that's hard to get out of my brain is we were having a great family day, and we were driving away from her cousin's house, and I was looking at Lucy from the rearview mirror, and she was just watching her cousins, like, throw a ball back and forth. And I said, "Hey, Luce, what are you thinking about?" She goes, I just wish I had someone home to come home and play with, just like my cousins do. I always used to wonder why my daughter was so into dolls, and even at 10 years old, continues to just want dolls in her life. And I asked her one day, "Hey, Luce, what is it about dolls you love so much? I mean, I know they're so cute." She says, "Well, it feels like I have company, only I just wish that they would talk back to me." And you can only imagine how conflicted I've been over the last years wondering why God hasn't provided another baby for us. I've gone through the thoughts of younger girls, especially at my work, getting pregnant so fast. A coworker of mine just recently coming to work saying she had a horrible weekend because she found out she was pregnant and it's such an inconvenience to her life. And of course, that triggered all sorts of things. And then she says, "I just want to get this thing out of me." And that was a hard one for me. And I've also experienced just even more lightly some people saying, "Do you just have Lucy? Is she your only one? Are you going to give her a sibling soon? Don't do that to Lucy. She can't be the only child. You have to give her a sibling," as if I'm doing something to her. I guess in their defense, if they're assuming I can have one, maybe I could have another. And so there's always grace there, but it doesn't always feel so good. So these are the moments where I wrestle with God the most. And in many ways, I feel like I have had full control over my life. But when it comes to conceiving a baby, I can't help but think that there's something wrong with me. I also can't help but think why it feels like there's so many people around me getting pregnant. Now, I want to really say this to you all. I have wrestled with this, and it's no longer a horizontal, I look at people pregnant and I get affected. If anything, I understand what a miracle you all have in your bodies. And what's actually happening now is my wrestle with God. Now it's a vertical. So when I talk about this, I just want to preface, this is not a everyone around me getting pregnant and woe is me. It is a, man, I'm taking this up with the Lord. And for the first time in a long time, I'm actually being really honest with him. So I'll always remember a Wednesday morning at Abide. I decided to sit outside because I was late and I really wanted to finish my meal, of course. there was a girl, there was just me and another girl, and she was standing up and she was holding her baby, this adorable baby. And she had the whole patio, just to bring you guys in on a little bit of my unhealthy thoughts. There was a whole patio for her to sit anywhere she wanted, right? And I was looking at the screen, and for some reason, she just stood right there, and her sweet baby was just staring at me. And I was like, okay, I'm sure she's going to see that I'm, you know, trying to look, but it's fine. I'll move out of the way. No problem. She's, you know, not even thinking about it. So I move to the other side of the patio. She follows and stands right there in front of me again. I'm like, no, I understand. Like, I get it. And I just remember thinking, I get it. Like, you have a baby and I don't. And that just kept going through my brain. I realized, like, man, the stuff that I'm feeling is so unhealthy. And I knew I had a lot going on inside of me. So rewind a few years ago, and what I'm about to share with you is probably one of my darkest moments to date. During the pandemic, Chad and I thought, man, if we're not able to have our own, why don't we go through the adoption route? Why don't we go and try to foster a little kiddo? So we went through the process, and the beautiful thing about COVID was everything was on Zoom. So what should have taken a year process to go through, we powered through those classes online in about 3 months because we didn't have to drive anywhere. So we were very clear to the foster system that we are adopted-minded, as our hearts were to care for that child and be ours forever. Our family got on board, and guess who really got on board? Lucy. It wasn't that hard to convince her, and we felt like we were ready. We ended up getting a little girl living with us for about 6 days. And I will say it was a gnarly 6 days, but they, after 6 days, decided that she's going to go back home with her dad. And I'm not sure if that was the best choice, just under her circumstances. The next phone call we got, we basically heard, this is it. We can't guarantee anything, but the chances of this little boy going back with his mom is close to zero. So we dropped everything and decided in 1 hour, because they don't give you much time to decide. And once we did, we drove to Chalk Hospital as he was getting detoxed from getting into his mom's purse filled with drugs. He was about 5 minutes away from passing away as his whole body turned blue. And we discovered he had fentanyl and heroin in his system at 15 months old. We picked him up, and we couldn't believe how adorable this little kid was. He looked just like Lucy, blonde hair and all. I always thought God had such a sense of humor, as we found out that his birth dad was 6'5", and his mom was 5'9". So you can only imagine... if we were able to have him, man, that would be a very funny sight. And sayonara, step stools, I got the kid. We brought him home after the first couple months, and I couldn't believe that I was a mom of two. Finally, Lucy had a doll that would actually respond back to her, and Chad finally had a vision of playing ball with his son. More time went by, and we started hearing from the birth mom more and more, and our visits with her began. For the first couple visits, she showed up, and if I'm being honest, she didn't look too well. She was placed in a rehab center in Santa Ana. So 3 times a week during the summer, I had to bring Lucy with me and this little boy to a park nearby. It was hot, it was sweaty, and it wasn't a good area. And I thought, man, I feel like I'm taking away Lucy's summer as she just had to watch her little brother play with this lady. Chad graciously took the role of doing visits as it was just too much for us, and he started working from his car 3 days a week. I started noticing my relationships with Chad felt like it was more of just a roommate. We would high-five each other as these visits were so hard to balance our life. The more he saw his mom, the more his behavior started to change in our home. And unfortunately, not for the better. He was delayed in speech, so he would use his body to express his frustrations very often. I remember in a parking lot, and we were in the middle of the parking lot, and cars were waiting for us. And I remember he would just drop to the ground and bang his head on the pavement because he was so frustrated he didn't know how to voice it. It was constant aggression, and I felt like no online class could have prepared us for this. This poor little boy felt neglect. And I didn't know if I was doing enough to keep him safe. Many people have thoughts about the foster system. Unfortunately for us, we felt like our lives were on blast, and our house became a fishbowl. Social workers coming and going, asking what certain bruises meant, asking what that particular scrape meant, where was my eyes at that time, where was he when he would get hurt, asking if we were keeping up with his appointments, asking if we had to spend a certain amount of money on clothes per month and turn in the receipts and make sure, and asking what kind of food we were eating or he was eating. It truly became a full-time job, and I was barely breathing. The only thing I could think of to keep Lucy from being okay and witnessing me fall apart each and every day was putting a screen in front of her. It was so hard not to have the time or ability to be there for her, as my goal was just to keep this little boy alive. The days became harder, and when I would ask who his mom was, it used to just be me, and he would then point to her at the park, realizing that even though he calls me mom, his real family was her. And that lady in the park was his real family. I started feeling like I was more of just a babysitter rather than raising my own son, and it emotionally messed with my mind, and I didn't know my place. I didn't know how to love him in the way that I knew he needed love, and I didn't know how to care for him in the way that he needed. I started praying that his mom would get better, and if I'm being honest, you guys, just so that our lives can go back to the way it used to be. I created a wall between him and I because I knew he wasn't going to be mine forever, and I just wanted to keep protecting my heart from falling in love with him. So my protective walls went up, and I started praying for his sweet mom, Catherine, writing her prayer letters, writing her encouragement letters. The beautiful thing is that she found God in the process. She ended up getting baptized. She ended up starting to attend church with other women who have had very similar stories to her. She moved in with her mom, and she became clean, and it was evident she loved her son. At the time, I felt like my mornings were just me screaming to God every day. I don't know if I can handle another day. He was just defeating me. And guys, I had zero control. The more time went by, the more the mom started showing up, and she looked really good. Chad and I had to ask ourselves, you know, what are the chances of him staying with us, and what are the odds of him really reunifying with her? We asked his social worker, and they basically said it's only a matter of time where he is going to get removed from our home as she continues this route of recovery, which is awesome for her and him. I hesitate telling you guys this next part as it actually gets even uglier. But my fear is that if I don't share with you and be fully exposed, then I don't know if I'm able to show you God's grace. So there was one particular visit. The mom noticed a bruise on her son's leg. And you guys, in all honesty, I didn't even know where that one came from. And we lived in a mobile home, so there was just a lot of steps and things that happened all the time. The only difference was that we were supposed to report everything, right? Every cut, every bruise, every scrape, and file the entire report. So there were so many that we left out because it was just too much. We couldn't keep up. And I'm not sure if that's relatable for little boys that get hurt, but man, they are really wild. The mom ended up reporting us to the social worker, and we were told we needed to take him straight to urgent care for this little tiny bruise so that they could clear us. Of course, they cleared us with no problem, but it kind of got us to think, is it time for us to start making some hard decisions? Chad and I both said that we don't know if we're going to be okay, and we don't know if our family is going to be okay. Our goal was to adopt him, and now we're just trying to survive and wait until he actually does get removed from our home the more time goes by. So we decided that very day to give up placement. I'll always remember saying goodbye to that little kid, handing him to another family, and him just like reaching for me and calling me mommy. And like, it just felt like I was walking away, and the amount of guilt and shame that came over me, I just felt like I was the biggest failure I've ever seen. And it happened to be that particular day, our 10-year wedding anniversary to the day. And I remember feeling, I just gave up on a child. Every morning I was shaking. I had lost a significant amount of weight. And I would fall into Chad's arms at the end of each day because I didn't know how to tame him. And he had so much anger built inside of him. He would hit Lucy often, pull her hair all the time, and I just couldn't keep up with the system. I knew we were choosing our family, but it also felt like by choosing our family, I was giving up on someone that needed us most. A few days went by, and things started calming down. We ended up being on the phone. I was on the phone with Chad, and we were talking about doing a marriage book together. He was on speaker. I got a knock on my door. It was a lady with a badge. And she said that she was from the city of California and that the abuse case for Isaiah is now opened and they're going to be investigating our home. They had a search warrant to come into our house, and the first question the lady asked me was to open up my refrigerator as if I wasn't feeding my children. She asked where he slept at night and where my daughter sleeps at night. I felt so violated and defeated as we were grieving the loss of our son, and now we're being accused of something so brutal. We were just two good people who couldn't get pregnant that prayed we can do something good for someone else. And this is where we landed. What came over my body at that moment was deep, dark fear. Fear that one of us could be taken away, unrightfully so, and that Lucy could be compromised. And all we were trying to do was be a family of four. And somehow we were here. Weeks went by, interviews, home investigations, phone calls, letters. And about, I think it was 4 years ago now, we were cleared and they found no case of abuse, which I could have saved them a lot of trouble on that one. I share with you girls this story, not because it's a sad story to share, but to share with you that God had purpose in it all. Update to now, this little boy, after three homes after us, is now back with his mom. During the last summer, he's come over once a week to hang out with Lucy. We've had them over for Christmas and Thanksgiving. We've invited him to birthday parties, and we've gone to his. Even though Isaiah is not my son, he's the son to a mom that has beaten the odds. God used me to be his mom for the short time, and what I keep telling myself is I did the best I could for what I knew how to do. I wasn't mad that she reported that bruise. If anything, I was so proud of her because she was being a protective parent that wanted to make sure that her son was safe, and I have all respect for that. To this day, when Lucy's asked in class to draw a picture of her family tree, she, of course, draws the three of us, and right next to her, she draws a picture of Isaiah holding her hand. That little girl still got a brother, even just for 6 months. And she knows what it's like to be a big sister. I don't know why God hasn't given us another child. I don't know if it's because I couldn't give my whole heart to Isaiah. What I do know, man, am I still searching. I'm still asking the questions, but I also trust that his answer for me might just in fact be no. And that to me isn't silence. That to me is an answer. During my years of ministry here in Overflow, I remember a specific night on a Wednesday. It was a worship night, and I was sitting in the sanctuary. I was sitting in the back praying my same prayer I always prayed. Please let me get pregnant. Specifically a son, if possible, but not picky, which was always the main theme of my prayers. There was no audible voice, but just a knowing that this was God's response to me. Lucy is all I have for you, but fear not, for I will do big things with her. And that sentence, no matter how much I've pushed into it, through infertility to adopt, to now just trying to accept, has remained true. The beautiful thing about that sentence is God has done big things with Lucy. He's not going to. He's doing it. She is someone special. Why? Because that girl knows Jesus. Why? Because she spends time with him. And why? Because she wrestles with the same questions that I do every single night. But she is with him. And every morning she wakes up and she knows she was a big sister to Isaiah and he will forever be changed by her. She got to care for someone smaller than her, and he needed her just as much as she needed him. Most people that knew our story said, man, you guys did so much for Isaiah. That little boy has changed because of us. And if I'm being honest, I have a really hard time with that sentence because in truth, looking back now, I feel like Isaiah gave more to our family than we ever did for him. He taught us patience. He taught us heartbreak. He taught us family. He taught us trust in the Lord. He taught us hope for someone that seemed so hopeless, like his mom. I will forever be changed by him. And as I reflect back on his smile or him pointing to that big truck as we're driving by, or the vision of watching him throw a ball with Chad, I can rest at night knowing that he's safe. And at 15 months old in a hotel room, I pray that that will never happen again to him. So where are we now? Well, I'm still sitting in my empty house. I'm actually here now, but at the time. I'm grateful that I have a daughter who can't wait for me to pick her up from school, and the contentment that God knows what he's doing. He doesn't need my suggestions. He just needs my heart. He just needs me to say, are you willing to go there with me? I just saw this video that said, posture is everything. Am I able to have a posture of saying, God, your will, so I can answer the calling that you have on me? So if I could ask just one thing of all of you as you leave here this morning, and please do it. Hug your little ones so tight. Watch the siblings play together. And pray for those that haven't got to experience what you have. Because I feel like when asked this question, there's so many of us out there that just would die to put a baby down for a nap or pick up dirty clothes or wipe off spit on your shoulders. And it's a season, like everyone says, but man, there's so many women that would love to be in your shoes. God chose your kids you're about to pick up from Miss Melissa's so specifically for each of you. And whether it's one kid or five kids, God chose them for you. So don't miss the moments and recognize that just as much as you are giving day after day to your children, man, are they giving you so much more? Yeah. Thank you. So I have some discussion questions. Oh, that's really small print. I'm so sorry. didn't realize that. Is that fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, can we do a
question? Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Yeah. I think just honesty, which was, I have no clue. I don't know why God hasn't done it for us yet. But I do know that he wants to hear from us all the time. And we talk a lot about perseverance. And we talk a lot about just God's... I think just desire to just want to be with us often. I try going a little practical with her sometimes because it's just been the topic of conversation and it's hard to keep going back to the same place. So sometimes I go, well, Lucy, we have a 4-bedroom house, so you can change your room. You can redecorate. You can go over here. You know, some kids have to share a room, but like you get to choose, you know, and things like that. And I think I also just try to play with her as often as I can. Because I am her entertainment, right? So we try to have as many kids over as possible, and we try to go on adventures together and just kind of just let her know. And the other day she came up to me. She's like, you know what I realized, Mom? And I go, yeah. She goes, you're alive. And I go, yep, I'm alive. And she goes, so like, I know I keep saying I'm talking to my dolls, but like, you're here with me. So like, you can just play with me, you know? And so she just realized like, I'm actually not as lonely as I keep saying that I am because I have a mom and a dad, you know? So that was kind of a sweet realization for her, but the why is hard because I don't even know why myself. So, yeah. 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 I think my husband's been so sweet in the sense that I feel like he's just a glass half full always, which is so annoying sometimes where I'm like, stop being so positive. I just want to go negative town for a second. And but he recently, because I've checked in with him a couple times, and he's just like, I will follow your lead on this one. And it's weird because I've always followed his lead on so many things in our marriage. And, you know, I think that's just been nice because I'm actually able to honestly process versus do something because he says he wants to or because Lucy's dying for a sibling. Like, I'm not going to crazy doctor's appointments and, you know, like trying to go through that route right now. And so I just feel like we've been processing together, but also very separately, because I think Chad and Lucy, it's easy for them to see Isaiah. It's really hard for me to see him. So oftentimes I'm working when he's over because I'm still trying to give myself that grace. And that's what a lot of these questions are about, is finding the theme of grace for yourself and also grace for others as they say things to you that may not feel so good. And then also just another question is just trying to process, like, how are you doing when you don't get the yes? And is that an unanswered prayer or is that just the word no? And are we okay with that? Because I do think God answers, and we may just be pushing into the answer not being what we want. And so I think that's also something to think about as well. So, yeah. You know, someone just told me that they're pregnant just recently, actually a few days ago, and she was so sweet. She said she was pregnant, and we, you know, of course, Chad and I, you know, react, like, genuinely, we're so happy for you, all of that thing. She pulled me aside, and she's like, hey, I know that information probably hit you in certain ways. I just want to check in. How are you doing? Because what I don't want is to take away the joy for them. I don't want to rob that joy of someone else getting pregnant, because that's, who am I to do that? Who am I to say, God, you actually didn't make the right decision there. It should have been me. There's nothing like that. And so I think just having people just kind of do like sidebars, checking in, and but letting me celebrate them too, I think is also like not being afraid to share with people that struggle with things, because that baby should be celebrated. Yeah, I'd say sidebar is always good. Anyone else? Thank you for letting me share my story, and thank you for creating that safe place for me to do so. I always hesitate sharing, going that like dark sometimes, but it's real and I can't sugarcoat that stuff. So I thought, man, you guys deserve the whole thing. And so sometimes, you know, we second guess God's story for us and we want to pretend that it's not that. And I always say, gosh, what do I have to lose other than someone knowing you more? So that to me is worth anything. So, yeah.
Thank you for her vulnerability.